Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shacton Blog Talk Radio Show on 6:30 every evening, Monday through Friday, and 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. And I very much welcome you on this show as listeners, as thinkers, as readers, as people who use their critical faculties to arrive at facts and truth rather than media lies and political hype. So this is a politically incorrect show, not politically correct. We aim at honest discernment. We aim at critical use of our faculties. We aim at getting at the facts and truth. Also, I want to say I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And also, I adhere to the ancient creeds of the church, the Nicene Apostles, and Athanasian Creed. And if I have to read a book, I do love to read. There's nothing that gives me more greater pleasure than reading a great book. I will read a person like G.K. Chesterton, T.S. Lewis, T.S. Eliot, Dante, Milton. Milton's one of my favorite, I think my favorite English poet, the author of the epic Paradise Lost, in which he astutely determined that the cosmic event in world history was the fall of man into sin from paradise. I can't stop reading Milton. He's one of my favorites. I also am a writer. I run two podcast radio shows, this Blog Talk radio show, which is visited by many people from Middle Eastern countries, including Muslim countries and Saudi Arabia, and a podcast radio show, the same, visited from people from China and from Saudi and from Muslim countries. And many of my listeners have been met from many countries. Over 4,000 people have visited these podcast shows from 76 countries. I also am a writer. I've written 10 books. My books are religious books, such as Essays in the Christian Worldview, a national and international bestseller, and Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy, and also a book on the parables, and I posted the 41 parables interpretations from this book on my website and social media. I'm doing the same for the sayings of Christ and the gospel, which I'm posting on my website and social media. And I've written also over 500 journal articles, which are uploaded by people in countries from all over the world on a regular basis, and including including Arab countries and Muslim countries, who are most welcome to my sites and thoughts. I have a Muslim friend, an Iranian friend in Iran, a Muslim who's very interested in my Christian thinking, and I've had a Muslim novelist on my podcast show and a Muslim scientist on my podcast show from Istanbul who was very interested in my position taken in one of my blogs that I reject evolution and believe in creation. He also agrees, and he goes to all kinds of conferences with this creation position rather than evolution position, which I think more reasonable. I have also I'm planning other books, a book on the Psalms I've completed, a book on the miracles, and a book on the sayings of Christ, and a book on the pretrial motions and demands and notices in criminal law. These books are forthcoming, and other books will be published soon, I hope. I enjoy writing. I enjoy thinking. I enjoy presenting my views to the public to the best of my intellectual ability. And so, tonight, I want to say that on this show, I have certain emphases. One of them is English literature. I love the great English writers of the past, such as Conrad, Charlotte Bronte, E.M. Foster, and Sir Walter Scott, and many others, including the poets Wordsworth, Shelley, Keats, and Byron, and Tennyson and Browning. I'm a great fan of English literature, English poetry, and English prose works, novelists such as Dickens and Thackeray, etc. These are my all-time love think book writers I love and worship and want to be with me all times before I go to bed and when I get up in the morning. They are a pleasure and a privilege and an honor to read as I read them each day and am benefited by them. Tonight I'm going to talk about one of the very greatest of English novelists, I think, one of the top people, and that is Emily Bronte. As I said, I also do political themes in this podcast show and religious themes, but tonight I'm going to talk about Emily Bronte, one of the greatest of all our English writers, her life of works, one of the great, and she's the author of one of the greatest literary treasures of the world, Wuthering Heights, a book that none can put down, and once read, engages our minds and spirits and souls, as few works of prose can and do. Again, I have the privilege and honor today of speaking of and presenting the life and works of one of the greatest of English writers and one of her greatest novelists, Emily Bronte, the author of one of the greatest literary treasures of the world. And I say literary treasures because it is a literary treasure, Wuthering Heights, a book once begun none can put down, and once read through, pulls and engages our minds and spirit and souls as few works of prose can do. I'm a great fan of English literature. When I read it, my mind and spirit and consciousness are raised to a different level. They raise me, these writers, such as Emily Bronte and Charlotte Bronte and Joseph Conrad and Jane Austen. And I acquire in reading and knowing these authors a different level of understanding. I am, in coming to know them, lifted up intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, and I have and will never regret the time I've spent in reading them and being exposed to them and absorbing their greatness, despite American society telling us on a constant basis that time spent with them has no practical value, as producing no income. A life without this great literature I've just described is a life cheated and wasted of what these greatest of minds have to offer us. I'm a great fan of English literature. When I read it, my mind and consciousness are raised, and I enjoy and go for things that raise me to a higher level. And I acquire reading and knowing these authors a different level of understanding. I am, in coming to know them, lifted up, raised intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, and I have and will never regret the time I've spent reading in them and being exposed to them and absorbing their greatness, despite our current society telling us on a constant basis that time spent with them has no practical value, as producing no income. A life without this great literature and this great writer, Emily Bronte, is a life cheated and wasted of what these greatest of minds have to offer us. Emily Bronte was born in 1818, and she, in Northern England, the youngest of five children, and moved to Haworth, where her father, Patrick, was the curate, or the pastor of the church. The children were sent to the clergy daughter school, and two of the sisters died in 1825, and the three remaining sisters and her brother were educated at home. So she was the youngest of five children and moved to Haworth, where her father, Patrick, was the curate. And the children were sent to the clergy daughter's school. Two of the daughter's sisters died in 1825, and the three remaining sisters and her brother were educated at home. Emily began to attend the Roe Head Girls' School after a few months, and then became a teacher at the Low Hill School in Halifax, but returned home in 1839 because of health issues due to her 17-hour work days. So she was sent to the clergy daughter school, and then she began to head the Roe Head Girls School, but left after a few months and became a teacher at the Low Hill School in Halifax, but returned home because of health issues due to the 17-hour work days. In 1842, she went to Belgium and attended the Girls Academy in Brussels. It was suggested that Emily stay on to teach music but the death of their aunt compelled them to return to their father in Haworth. In 1846, the sisters' poems were published in one volume as poems by Currier Ellis and Acton Bell. Little is known of Emily Bronte's life due to her solitary and shy nature. She loved nature and animals and has been described as a Christian, albeit somewhat unorthodox. As I said, she was the youngest of five children and moved to Haworth, where her father was the curate. The children were sent to the clergy daughter's school. Two of the sisters died in 1825, and the three sisters and her brother were educated at home. She began to attend the Roe Head Girls' School, but left after a few months and then became a teacher at the Low Hill School in Halifax, but returned home in 1839 because of health issues, and then in 1842 went to Belgium and attended the Girls' Academy there. It was suggested that she stay on to teach music, but the death of their aunt compelled them to return to their father in Haworth. In 1846, the sisters' poems were published in one volume as poems by Currier, Alice, and Acton Bell. Now, her great work and her lasting work was Wuthering Heights, first published in London in 1847. I read it in college. It is a great, great novel, and it is something that you should not miss in your life. Its violence and passion led the early reviewers in the Victorian public to think it had been written by a man, and the novel was often condemned for its portrayal of a kind of animal passion. It's a very direct novel, dealing with hidden sexual feelings. The work has subsequently become an English literary classic, but her brother died in 1848, and at the funeral she caught a cold which led to tuberculosis and led to her death. So I have to say this, in this little literary aside of Emily Bronte and her life and her work, that having read and knowing, having been assigned Wuthering Heights in my college English class, I was stirred and emotionally taken by the work and have never forgotten my first exposure to this great work of art. What most came to me in my reading this work was its wildness and sexual passion, presented to me by the writer not in bald sexual terms and sexual imagery, but in word images calling to me those feelings, perhaps not in the fashion of direct images of sex, by the use of words, a little more subtle approach. So having read and been assigned Wuthering Heights in my college English class, I was stirred and emotionally taken by the work and have never forgotten my first exposure to this great work of art. It is and was a very great work of art. What most came to me in my reading this work was its wildness and sexual passion, presented to me by the reader-writer, not in bald sexual terms and sexual imagery, which is typical of the cinema and the porn images on the internet, but in word images, calling to me those feelings, not in the fashion of direct images of sex. I've always enjoyed this novel, and as I said, for me, it's one of the great works of prose and one of the greatest of novels, which should not be missed by any man or woman, at least in the English-speaking world. And my parents and friends of all races and kinds, do take your children to the library, get for them a library card, and introduce your precious children to this great and enduring work of art. Do not let them miss the privilege of reading this great and immortal literary treasure for all time. Don't let them miss it. Don't be misled by modern catchwords and fads and fashions. Do not forget to introduce your children to this great novel and enduring work of art. And do not let them miss the privilege of reading this great and immortal literary treasure for all time, for all minds, and for all generations. Emily Bronte didn't have a long life, but she produced something very great in Wuthering Heights. And I have to advise anybody who's listening, read this essay on my website and go to the library and go to a bookstore, get this book and read it and reread it, and don't stop reading it till you have been taken by her prose and her thoughts and her ideas and her greatness as a person. Thanks for listening. Bye.